Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanks for being here for our service today. We truly are blessed by our Lord as he gives us a refuge from the craziness of life right now. Are you? Take a breath. Everybody's here together. Get a break. What a blessing that is that he gives us each and every divine service. We're glad that you joined us today as we hear of our Lord's love and his forgiveness for us, and the fact that he's got us as we move through this life in our Christian walk. We also welcome those that are tuned in on the radio today. If you're tuned in that way, you can go to our website, tlcalamosa.net, and you can find our bulletin there, and you can follow along that way. If you're here with us in the sanctuary, we're going to begin with our opening hymn this morning. That's hymn number 893. O Christ, our true and only light. And then we do invite you on the last verse of that hymn if you'd stand at that time. Let's sing together hymn 893. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips. to God, our light and our life. Responsive psalm this morning from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence to sing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
And enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name.
For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
And please be seated. Our Old Testament reading today, the third Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the book of Exodus in the 19th chapter. The people of Israel set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the children up now for our children's sermon. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Good morning. What's that? Victor's too tired. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. He can just take a little rest, huh? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, how are you guys today?
Good.
I love the enthusiasm, Danica. Yes. Yes, I have a question for you. Last Sunday, we talked about the color green in the church service, and we said what it meant. Do you guys remember from last Sunday what the color green means during the season of Pentecost?
We weren't there.
Oh, you weren't there. Okay. Well, let me tell you. Are you ready? It means life, right? Because think about plants. When they're alive, what color are they?
Green,
yeah. It's a season of life and the season of growing. After God sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, then the Holy Spirit is at work amongst all of us. It gives us our faith and helps us to grow. And an interesting thing that we used in our psalm this morning, if you heard it, it was just a few minutes ago. It said, it's Psalm 100. It said, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. What is a joyful noise? What do you think that that psalm is telling us?
Singing hymns to God.
Singing hymns, yeah. Anything else? Oh, and the song. Okay, great. Yeah, any other thoughts? What else would be a joyful noise to the Lord?
The sound of puppies.
The sound of puppies, yeah. Any other joyful noises? New puppies. Yeah, new puppies is joyful. Anything else?
New puppies don't have that much hair.
They don't have that much hair when they're new. That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, that dog does. Yeah. I'm sure that puppies barking. What about the birds? Do you guys wake up in the morning and hear the birds? And they're all singing? Tweet, tweet, tweet. Yeah. And what are they doing? Yeah, and all that together is a joyful noise to the Lord. And we get to be a part of all creation as it makes a joyful noise. But I have one question for you before we go. The next part says, serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. So that was one of the right answers. Yeah, singing. But I have to wonder, what about when we don't feel like making a joyful noise to the Lord? What should we do? We still should, I agree, yeah. But how do we do that when we don't feel like making a joyful noise?
Take a nap.
Take a nap, he said. That's a good answer. It's a good answer. You're a really good answer, actually. Yeah, maybe we could eat something, too, with some protein, right? Not just sugary things, right? That might help, too, yeah. But I thought it was really neat because it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. But when we don't feel like it, then I think the psalm helps us too because it tells us, serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. So many times, even when we don't feel like it and we just serve the Lord anyway, he gives us that joy in that service and it's really, really great. He'll get those yucky feelings out and give us some joyful ones, huh? Yeah, because he does that for us. Awesome. Well, let's fold our hands, bow our heads, and close our eyes and we'll pray. Repeat after me, kids. Ready? Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us joy and for giving us life. Protect us, go with us, and always remind us of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you. Our next reading for today, our epistle reading, comes from Romans chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets.
And now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Amen. Please be seated. We join together now in singing the hymn of the day for today, hymn 571, "God Loved the World So That He Gave." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever been to the doctor? I hope there's no one here who hasn't. That would be worrisome. But have you ever, while you're at the doctor, had the doctor take one of these odd-looking little hammer devices? And on it, there's like, at the end, there's like a triangle. It's made like out of rubber. And they take that little hammer device and they smack you with it, right? They smack your body with this little rubber hammer. And what they're trying to accomplish in that, I'm sure we all know, is they're checking our reflexes. They want to know how our muscles are going to react to certain stimuli. And that little hammer does a pretty good job of making your knee jerk or other parts of your body respond in a similar way. But I wonder, as I was preparing the text or in the sermon for today, if we know we have physical reflexes, but do we know that we also seem to have spiritual reflexes as well? These have to do with us and God and how we so often respond or reflex to God and His truth. The text this morning from Romans invites us to consider not just things about ourselves, but also things about our Lord. So does the gospel reading, if you look at it that way. It tells us a lot, and we can learn a lot about God from our readings for today. Because we can find a doctor that can tell us whether our physical reflexes are working appropriately or not. I hope yours are. But we don't usually get our spiritual reflexes checked very often. And certainly, if our physical ones are working right, it doesn't mean that our spiritual ones are good. Because ever since our very first parents in the Garden of Eden, when they sinned against God and broke His commandment, our spiritual reflexes have been messed up. And they don't respond to God the way that they should. They actually react in the wrong way. Instead of responding to God the way that the Bible teaches us to do so, left to ourselves, we'll draw different conclusions and different assumptions and respond in different ways. Here's an example. The sinful world starts hammering on you too. Happens, right? And we're quick to reflex this way and say, why would God let this happen to me? And then doubt whether or not He even, at the extreme end of this, exists. We'll start wondering, why would you let this happen? Are you even real? Adam and Eve display the same kind of messed up reflex after they sinned in the garden too. Do you remember what they did after they sinned? They went and hid. Yeah, exactly. Their move was to run and hide. That's another way that we often respond ourselves. We'll run and hide from God. And the devil had twisted their thinking into believing that God's word wasn't what it was. It wasn't true. The devil had them thinking that God was just sort of nervous that they'd become like Him if they ate of the tree. And then told them a lie, said, you will not truly die. Calling God's character into question. But these texts this morning that we have, they tell us about God and they help us get to know Him better. When we sin, we start believing those same kind of lies about God. And that's one of the biggest problems with sinning as a Christian, is it makes us all of a sudden think that God is in judgment against us. Is that what the scripture says about you and about me? Is that God's perspective on you, his baptized child, is that he's out to get you? No. It's what the disobedience causes us to believe. The lie. That God's against us rather than for us. And that it's now up to us to earn back or to make things right with God. That's what we start to think. That's our knee-jerk reaction. Beautiful example of this same thing is found in Luke's gospel in the parable of the prodigal son. Because remember the prodigal son, he starts to lust after his father's inheritance, right? He wants his inheritance from his father. And so he asks for it. And his father lovingly gives him his inheritance, if you recall. And then what does the son do? But takes that and goes away into a foreign country and blows it all, wastes it. And then one day, he's out feeding the pigs that he's had to sell himself out to this landowner because he didn't have any more money to play, and he's out feeding the pigs, and all of a sudden, it dawns on him. The pigs are eating better than he is. And he thinks, I'll go back to my father. Even his servants have it better than I do now. But look at his reflex. Look at his reaction. His conclusion is not that his father loves him. His conclusion is not that his father will receive him back. His conclusion is that he's messed it all up, and now he'll have to go back as a servant or a slave, and somehow he'll have to do something to make it work now. It's up to him. That's his reaction. That's his spiritual reflex, if you want to put it that way. And so what does he do? Well, we know the story. He heads back. And the father? Oh boy. The father sees him coming a ways off. And the father, this old man, starts running towards his son. And as soon as the son arrives back, the father envelops him in an embrace and puts a robe on him and puts the family ring back on him, and all of a sudden it's clear. That spiritual reflex that said, I got to go back and be a slave. I got to go back and be a servant. I got to go back. I've ruined this. I've messed this up. The same one that we have, that sinning causes us to draw that conclusion about our relationship with God and think, oh no, it's not okay now. I've messed it up. And God sees us coming too, brothers and sisters. And runs to us even this morning, embracing us with his love and his words that we're still a part of the family, that he forgives us and that he loves us. And in our text this morning from Romans 5, we see this amazing reality, right? Because that story, that parable from Luke 15, it tells us, the prodigal son, it tells us about God's character. Look at the character of that father. What was his reflex in the prodigal son? His reflex was to love his son no matter what. This is the kind of thing that our epistle lesson is saying to us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we'd made a deal with him, not when we'd got ourselves together, not when it was all straightened out. No, while we were still sinners. It's telling us a lot about God. It's teaching us a lot about him. Because another problem that we end up with because of our sinful nature is that when we start drawing those conclusions and thinking, oh, I messed it up. Now it's up to me. I got to make it right. How do I make it right? takes away our assurance. All of a sudden, our assurance of our salvation, the ability to be sure that God is for us and not against us, knowing that we're safe in Christ, it tries to strip all that away from us. And then we start questioning all of that. See, it has this way of making us look here at ourselves. We say, am I okay with God? Have I ruined this? Have I messed this up? And we say, we're looking here. But we don't get assurance from looking here. Know that about yourself. You never will. I never will. Where do we get our assurance as Lutheran Christians? We always look to the cross. Do you want to know how God feels about you? Do you want to feel his arms around you like the prodigal son? Look. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He embraces us through this message of the gospel. This message of the cross is literally the reality of what we read in that parable of God saying, I love you anyway. And it opens up this whole new reality to us about the character of our God, the one that Satan draws into question in Genesis chapter 3, and the one that we also, because of our spiritual reflex that we inherited from our first parents, draw into question all the time. And that is God's character. And this text teaches us a lot. While we were still sinners, he died for us. There was nothing required. Our reflex was to question. Our reflex was to doubt. Our reflex was to blame him. That was our knee-jerk reaction. And then we say, well, what's his reflex? Does God have a reflex, a spiritual reflex? He does. And his, displayed throughout this text, while we're still sinners, he dies for us. Displayed in our gospel reading this morning, did you hear it? How Jesus felt, what his response or reaction or reflex was when he saw the crowds in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. That's his reflex. It's who he is. It's his character. His character, who God is to love you, his own child, no matter how bad we mess it up. No matter what, he still loves us. And every time he sees us coming, he's going to run to you. He's doing it again right now this morning. He saw you coming. When you were doing your hair and maybe fixing your breakfast or climbing in your car, and he saw you. And he's brought us here again. To understand who he truly is and to not trust those messed up spiritual reflexes when it comes to this stuff, but to trust his. To always trust his. See, when we know that, when we know who he is, then no matter how bad we've squandered what he's given us, no matter how bad we've turned our backs on him and we've said, you know what, I know you gave me these vocations. I know you made me this person, but I don't want it. That's not a smack in anybody's face but God's. And we say, forget it, I'm out. No matter how bad we've just crucified him, he still loves us. He still runs to us. And when we know that, no matter how bad we mess it up, we're going to run here. Because we know what his answer is going to be as long as the church age goes on. We know that he is going to love us. And it draws us to him. And this is how he rules. And this is how he reigns, with mercy and with grace forever and ever and ever. That's his spiritual reflex, is to love you, to forgive you. So next time the hammer of the world strikes you and you're shocked, and your reflex completely the wrong way, remember him and his reflex to you and his response and his reaction. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're provided for you there on page 9 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Be seated. We come now to the time in our service where our offerings are collected and presented to the altar. And during that time, we'll enjoy some music from our organist before our prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you treasure your people for Christ's sake, and give us your commandments to guide our ways. Grant that we, redeemed by his blood, may do all he has spoken. Lord, in your mercy, God of the living, your Son commanded his disciples to pray for laborers in the harvest before he sent them out as his apostles. Lord, you know and see the situations around us where we're in need of pastors, of men to go out and preach your gospel, of missionaries and teachers and church workers to labor in your fields for the harvest. Lord, send them, we earnestly pray, to do your work as you sent your first disciples. Lord, and make all of us your people, quick to speak of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, your Son warned his disciples of persecution for proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. Lord, look with compassion on all who are suffering for the sake of Jesus. Give them the words to confess and deliver them from their enemies. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, you gather a holy nation through your word of grace. Lord, and you reign in such a marvelous way through mercy and forgiveness. Lord, your power is made known. Lord, bless parents as they teach those ways to their children. Lord, encourage them by your Holy Spirit and your word to say those things to their children, to lead them and guide them your way instead of the world's. And let your peace rest on all our homes, that the next generation also may be your treasured possession. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you guide the nations and judge the peoples fairly. Give those who govern wisdom to enact laws without sinful bias and to foster charity instead of resentment among the citizens of our land. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God of all comfort, Lord, grant healing to the sick and those in need, especially those that we name now from the altar, Bella Lane, Francis Parsh, Yesenia Gambora, Sylvia Luna, family and friends of Audra Rendon and the family and friends of Ron Simpson, Donna Ford, Kendall Susan and family, Carol Schrader, Wendy Vest, Lindsay McGlone and her son Carter Lee, Lucy Walsh and family, Jim Holman, Helen Almdale, Jeff Otto Pollock, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Sonny Rumler, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, comfort those wounded in spirit. Comfort those who are grieving. Make them whole. Give them strength and courage that comes not from themselves, but from you. And comfort them in any distress. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, you descended on Mount Sinai and bid Moses to come into your presence. Prepare the hearts of all who come to your altar today, that they may receive Christ's body and blood for their forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O blessed Lord, through Moses you called a people to yourself. From them you delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his sufferings and death, he has redeemed us sinners from our sins, and he has shown us your character. And by his resurrection, he has released us from the fear of death. Help us to live as your people, doing the good works which were created beforehand that we would do, and praying with confidence in petitions and supplication in our hearts. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings and his peace. And if you're gathered with us in the sanctuary, if you turn over to page 10 in your bulletin and please stand, if you're able, for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern California.